In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I had not intended, but apparently we're going to have a small sermon series. Because I found myself actually called to preach on baptism again. It's been rather interesting the last couple of days. Jen and I actually had our training on Wednesday, and then our training yesterday for adoption. And that's really where I was, that's kind of where my headspace was at when I was reading this stuff. So let me give you a little compare and contrast. I had special or unique ideas about what this process was going to be, how it was going to look, how it was going to come out, because of the training I've had with the church. Surprise, surprise, nothing like what I thought. See, a lot of the training in the Episcopal Church right now is everybody's understanding or ideology trumps your own. Everybody's experience is more important than yours. Now, it's not all of the training, but that's a vast majority of it. When you look at things that other priests tweet out across the nation and stuff like that, that's kind of the idea that you get. Your experience doesn't matter. It's about everybody else. And that's true to a point, but that really tends to, after hearing that so long, it tends to color how you enter into meetings and everything else. So it was fascinating. I'm not saying take the adoption classes from DCS just for fun. I'm not saying that. But there's a lot of really, really good information in there. And it gives you a unique experience. One of the experiences that you walk away from in DCS that I don't think we do walk away with from many of the churches that we attend is a reverence. Did we talk about spirituality and Christianity? Yeah, we did. I was actually surprised because you always hear everybody say, well, you can't talk about religion. Can't talk about religion. No. Bad. So it was very surprising to hear the people gathered in the room as well as the instructors were like, oh yeah, no, we're going to talk about religion. We're going to talk about faith because that's kind of important. Wow, really? Cool. I'm in. So we do that. We talk about faith and the importance of it. Especially the importance of kids that may have a different experience than you do. Wow. You just turned everybody in the room into a priest because that's kind of our job. Right? So, when we look at today's gospel reading, let's look at how that actually plays in. This is especially true. You have disciples of John, right? You have disciples of John that have gone through and followed John the Baptist because of what they saw through their faith in Scripture that was given to them, right? They're following John for that reason. Give you a little background into this. When they began to follow John, they probably took a different name, or more appropriately, an additional name. Right. This is actually a very old custom, still used a lot in the Catholic Church as well as the Orthodox Church. There's a reason for it. And we'll get to that. But these followers of John knew they were there for a time. Now they hear the person that's been leading them for however long he's been leading them say, look, there is the Son of God. The Lamb of God that takes away all sins. There he stands before you. The one that we've been waiting for. The one that we've been promised through scriptures by God to save us from ourselves stands before us now. What did his two disciples do? See ya. And off they went. John expected that. John knew what his job was. His job was to get to people to a certain point and move them on from there. John wasn't shy about talking about his faith. Remember at the River Jordan? "You brood of vipers, who told you to come out and be saved?" That's not very meek or mild, is it? But these disciples of John are following Christ, following him as Messiah. And you've got Andrew. Andrew, upon hearing John, begins to follow Jesus. Listens to him for all of about 5 minutes and says, "Oh, I got to go get my brother. This is awesome." He runs and goes to get his brother Simon. Simon shows up to Christ, to the anointed. Simon left everything that he had known at Andrew's behest. Right? So, chances are Simon's probably working in the family business. He knows what Andrew's doing, and he's doing this to support Andrew. But the minute Andrew has information, the minute Andrew finds what they're looking for, he runs to his brother Simon. Simon stops everything that he's doing and follows Andrew. When he gets to Christ, what does Christ do? "Simon, son of John, you shall be called Cephas." You shall be called Peter. Why would he do that? What does that name signify? Is Jesus talking about John or Simon in this manner because he doesn't want anybody else to know who Simon really is? Is that the purpose of this? Think back to John. "I will baptize you with water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." He, speaking of Christ. Simon leaves what he knows. Stands before Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, the teacher. And Jesus' first act is to change his name. Not because he's trying to hide Andrew. Not because he really didn't like Andrew's name. But for a very specific purpose. The moment Andrew stepped into the world of Christ and began to follow him, he became something both more and less. In essence, he became something new. That new life, that new reality, dictated that Jesus called him something different. In our Christian faith, at our baptisms, especially at an adult baptism, there is a second name that is chosen. That name signifies your Christian reality. Your rebirth, your regeneration. You are born again. I'm not sure that might actually be where middle names come from. Probably not. I do know throughout the course of the process of ordination, there are certain times when I was ordained to the diaconate. Wow, which we're actually coming up on in just a few days. January 23rd, I was ordained to the diaconate. I was ordained to the diaconate under a saint. Those saints that we're ordained under basically become our patrons. But they are saints that reflect a part of who we are and a part of what our ministry is. For instance, Phillips Brooks is the saint for January 23rd. Phillips Brooks is actually a more modern saint. He was known as a great orator, speaker. He had an incredible passion for youth, which Bishop Little knew that I followed the youth group and tried to help kids out. He wrote the song, A Little Town of Bethlehem. Bishop Little, knowing that was one of my favorite songs, he's like, yeah, no, Phillips Brooks, he's your saint, because you and he are a lot alike. Likewise, jump ahead to my priestly ordination. I have a saint that's my patron saint for my priestly ordination. I've talked about this before. Anybody remember who it is?
Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene. Who the bishop says, oh yeah, absolutely, we're going to ordain you under Mary Magdalene because you and her, boy, are you alike. Who remembers what Mary Magdalene was famous for? Having 7 demons cast out of her. I'm pretty sure the bishop was kind of playing with me a little bit on that one. But what she went on to do, what she went on to become is what was important. What was the point of that too? You've all heard me talk about how I was before I became a priest or came back to the church. So Mary Magdalene actually does fit that pattern of having 7 demons cast out of her. But what else was she known for? Mary Magdalene, who was the first person to see the risen Lord. Mary Magdalene, who became known as the apostle to the apostle. The apostles are the ones that brought us the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the risen Lord. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts. All of the New Testament. Mary Magdalene was the apostle to the apostles. The bishop thought it appropriate that I had her as my patron saint. In a way, changing my name. So let's get back to that. What did that name change signify? Now, this is really interesting. Andrew became Cephas. Simon became Cephas. Thank you. Andrew was always known as the fisher of men. But Simon became Cephas. Cephas meaning Peter. Peter being the one who expressed, but Peter, who do you say that I am? Remember this when Jesus asked him? Who do the people say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah. But who do you say I am, Peter?
Christ.
You are the Christ, the Lord, the Son of God. You shall be called Petros. And upon this rock I will build my church. Petros is actually a word for Peter, but it's also a word for rock. Again, we see that Peter has transcended and been reborn with an understanding that was given by God. His name was changed again. So let's tie this all up nice and neat. What does this have to do with DCS, you're thinking, right? because it is that important, so important, that it's literally discussed in places like DCS while it's not in the church. Right down to the fact that through the adoption process, the kids are given a choice to choose another name. What do you wish to be called? Do you want to keep your first name? Do you want to keep your last name? Do you want to add a middle name? The name change signifies a new life. A new life. It is so important that nothing less suffices. We're getting ready to enter into Lent. Consider what that name change means. Are you willing to change yours? Is there something that you wish to be called? Have you attained a different life to where that matters? Or are we just going through the motions? Simon comes to Christ and is immediately called Cephas because of the new life he enters into. What will you be called?